Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Robert Douglas, and I'm the senior Drupal advisor at Acquia. And I've talked about a lot of things in my Drupal time, but I've never really come around to the topic of internationalization, localization. I've never, as funny as it might seem, being that I live in Germany, built a website that is in multiple languages. Until recently. So when I looked into how to do that in Drupal, my eyes were opened at the complexity of the task, not necessarily because of Drupal being complex, although that certainly does play a role at some levels, but just because it's hard to do. It's hard to build a website that successfully reaches a multilingual audience in the right way. It's more complex than I had ever imagined going into it. For example, what does the website do when you first visit it? What language does it speak? How does it decide which language to speak? What does it do when you come back the second time to your website after you've already, say, established, you know, what your preferred language is? And what does it do if there's content that isn't in the language that you would prefer to speak? How does it fall back to a different language, or does it? So there were all these topics that I was unaware of, and I decided that it would be really fun to talk about it, to learn about it some more. So tomorrow I'm giving a session called Parlez-vous Internet? Ignore the rest of the world at your own risk, where I talk about the fact that 63% of all of the connected internet users on Earth don't browse the internet in English. They do so in a different language. I didn't know, for example, that you can reach 75 million people by speaking Portuguese on your website, and that Arabic and Chinese are the fastest growing internet languages, growing at over 1,000% year over year. I mean, that's incredible. If you knew this and you wanted to, say, have affiliate revenue-driven marketing strategies or business plans, then you would absolutely be translating your website. So that's kind of one of the big interests that I'm bringing to DrupalCon this year.
And so what were some of those lessons in terms of, like, here's with I18 in modules giving you this, but here's, you know, the contrib modules are giving you something else, but where are the sort of, you know, needs and gaps still there? So maybe you can sort of talk about some of those lessons that you learned along the way.
So for the Drupal 6 release cycle, we had Gabor Hoichi as the committer, the main committer alongside of Dries, and he brought a passion and a focus onto internationalization. And we got a lot of functionality into Core, for example, the ability to translate your content into different languages. So in Core, you can, say, have a node in English and translate it into German, Spanish, Arabic, etc. And depending on how you've sent your language negotiation strategy for the website, what happens when you visit the website, what language does it speak, then it will present you the content in the right language. And that's really brilliant. And we've, for a long time, had an interface that's translatable, mostly, but there is this huge gray area still that is actually the most complicated aspect, and that's user administrator generated strings that don't come from the modules, that aren't your content. So this would, for example, be the name of a content type. You make that up. When you as an administrator go to the website and make a content type, you say this is a foobar. Nobody told you to, and what language is foobar in, right? So there's no way to package pre-translations of that, and there's no workflow in Drupal for translating it. It's really hard. It's a big problem. And that's where contributed modules, like the great I18N module from Jose at Development Seed, they come in and they provide mechanisms for translating administrative user-generated strings. But it's really complicated. It divides things into text groups, depending on whether, like, they're, say, taxonomy vocabularies and terms, or whether they're content types or CCK type stuff. And every little subsystem that you're dealing with has its own quirks and its own requirements and its own little rules, and they're hidden in little weird administrative parts of the website or the interface. And that's really because they're not in core yet. So my takeaway lesson was that Drupal 8 should really be focusing on this a little bit more and find a solution for these translatable strings, because that's it's a real burden and a barrier to people doing 100% well translated websites.
And you know, each website's going to have a different content, different strategy for, you know, what they intend to do. So maybe you could talk about what are some of the questions that people who are building websites should be asking themselves to help guide them and direct them into different paths.
Sure. And that's a great question, because the act of translating your website goes way beyond just building it, especially if you want the content that you generate to be available in several different languages. So another thing that has come about as a result of my interest in this is that I've become an advisor to a company called iCanLocalize.com. And it's a company based out of Nevada that does this amazing thing. And that is, you install their module, their Drupal module, and it talks to their service, which is a portal to a worldwide network of human translators. And when you write something on your website, it pings their service and sends it out to their translators to be human translated, and then when it's done, it comes back to your website, and voila, you have got internationalized content. And they can do this not just for your content, but for your interface, and every aspect that needs to be translated can be done through this service. And the question that people should be asking when they're building an international website is, how am I going to maintain this over time, and at what cost, and on whose shoulders is the work going to fall? And discovering this company, iCanLocalize.com, was a big breakthrough to me, and it started my wheels and gears in my mind turning, what can I do with it? And I've already started using it in my personal website building and my personal life as a person living in Germany, not being a native German speaker, and it's changed the way I think about my role in the multilingual world.
And so anytime you're building a Drupal site, you inevitably run into different pain points or doing something wrong. So what are some of the lessons that you learned along the way of working with an internationalized site?
Well, I learned that it's not straightforward and that I had to take good notes, because especially in the gray areas around string translation that I mentioned, there are a lot of quirks. I think that Jose did a great job making the i18n module, but it's essentially a hack to get around Drupal's limitations in that area, and as such, it's quirky. So other than reading the plethora of online documentation and, you know, jumping into IRC or buying some sort of support contract from a company like Acquia, then you have to take good notes, because even though I did these steps 5 times, 6 times preparing my presentations, I still forgot where to go, what checkbox to check, what ramifications it had. And more than in almost any other system within Drupal, I've had to take very clear notes about what I did to get back to a certain place, which is why I'm of the conviction that Drupal 8 should really focus on this aspect a little bit more.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.